Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast. My name, of course, is Mark Johnston, and I have a special guest with me today, Nicole. Hi, Nicole. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How is everybody?
All right. So Nicole has graciously agreed to do a brief interview. Nicole has, used some of our services, and I wanted to give a little bit of a preview or just kind of an understanding of how that works and, you know, how some journeys of some of the clients that we have might go. We do this on occasion and always enjoy having people like this on the podcast with us. So why don't we just kind of dive right in? Nicole, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what things were like with you and your husband?
Okay. We just had our 26th wedding anniversary in June. Mm-hmm. We have three children. Our oldest two boys, 25, 22, and our daughter is 17. She's a junior in high school. We separated January 9th of 2020. And it was and it wasn't a shocker. We'd been having issues for quite a few years. Off and on, we'd gone to marriage counseling a couple of different times. That would usually end with they wanted to see us separately. So I would go to my part. Chad would not go to my husband would not go to his part. So that didn't always work out. So anyway, we made it through Thanksgiving and Christmas of last year, and mm-hmm. then and on January 9th, when he decided he just had had enough, and he just up and left. So I kind of felt like my world had been turned upside down and shook and wasn't sure what to do.
Your husband, he wasn't going to, you guys were going to the couples counseling, but your husband wasn't going to his part. How come?
Well, we would start out going together and then it would split into, I'd like to see you separately or I'd like to see him separately. And through his work, we were fortunate where we had like 5 visits where we could go to counseling. So 5 visits were paid for. He would usually go to like the first one or two, and then he would decide, a couple of different times we tried this and he would decide that he could either continue on his own and he was okay and didn't need any more help, or he would get angry about what they had to say, because I think it started to address some issues that he was having of himself, not just of our marriage, but things that maybe he needed to address about himself.
So this had, like this gone on, this happened before, like you guys had tried this almost sounds like you tried this multiple times, like you would go to a couple visits and then stop, or
yes.
All right, so this was
so,
kind of run mill.
The last few years has been really tough for us. Mm-hmm. So I would say like probably the last 3 has really been the toughest of years. So then January, so like I said, I was surprised and I wasn't surprised when he left in January. It was kind of like, I didn't think it would ever really happen, but then it did happen. And I didn't know what to do. So we talked a little bit. He would kind of go back and forth with 1 week he'd want a divorce or we were actually doing a dissolution because things were pretty cut and dry. The next week he'd be like, no, hold off. Then he'd be like, no, we need to do this. Then it'd be hold off. So he really was very wishy-washy about what he wanted.
Why do you think that was?
I don't really know why he was so wishy-washy, because he seemed so set that at the very beginning, like he was done, this was it. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't sure that he was done. So I didn't really understand the back and forth, like either you want this or you don't. And I was doing the thing where pushing. I want you to come back. We'll work on it. You know, the same things we've done in the past when things have gotten really ugly. We'll work on it. We'll figure it out. You know, don't leave. Don't do this. Don't do this to our family. but he, it wasn't working. It was doing nothing but pushing him away further, which I've learned now isn't the right way to handle it. But that's what I was doing. So we did end up getting dissolution paperwork put together. That was kind of the final straw for me. I had pretty much hit rock bottom, realized how really low I had gotten to, how I was feeling about myself, just how I was feeling in general, really had hit rock bottom. So I decided, okay, if this is what he wants, I don't know what else to do right now. So I just kind of accepted that this was going to be the way it was. And I would start working on myself and try and make myself happy, not depend on him making me happy. And I hate that cliche, like work on yourself. I don't like that, but mm-hmm. I really had some things I needed to address. I didn't like who I was, so I really needed to fix those things.
It sounds like things had gotten pretty hopeless for a time, and
yes,
you really weren't seeing how this was going to be fixed. So you got into the say, okay, this is just what's going to happen, and so I might as well make the best of it. So right. Why did you end up getting involved with High Thrive?
I started out looking for things to help myself and kind of stumbled upon this mm-hmm. and decided that the get your divorce to stop kind of caught my eye. Sure. And I thought, well, you know, I mean, what do I have to lose at this point in time? Why not give this a try? If anything, it can help me better. I watched some of the testimonials where maybe their marriages didn't work out, but they felt like they could carry on relationships mm-hmm. in all aspects of their life better now because they had learned how to deal with some things and how to handle relationships better. So I wasn't just struggling in my marriage. I was struggling with my relationships with my kids, especially my daughter at work. I really just wasn't in a good place. So I was willing to do whatever. And I thought if this stops the divorce and we can maybe work on it, then I'll give it a try.
I'm sure though it wasn't completely, it's not like we had like this magic something, a magic bullet to stop all the problems. I imagine there are some challenges throughout this. So what kind of challenges, even with working with you know, within our program, what kind of challenges do you see as you try to fix certain things?
The biggest challenge has been, I don't think these changes are going to last. That has been brought up more than once. And he will openly admit that he can see that I'm different and that I've changed, that I don't handle things the same way, but there's still in his mind, he still has that lack of trust that this is going to be okay, that we're going to get through it. So,
yeah, that's actually a really, really common problem. It's all about, as you put it, it's very much about trust. And can the other person trust in the changes and open themselves up, make themselves a little bit vulnerable, come a little bit closer? Interestingly enough, I was actually, you know, I put together some monthly material for the group, and this is actually one of the topics that I was looking at for this month. So it's funny that you mentioned that. So yeah, you saw a very common problem. Trust was a big issue. How have you been handling that? How have you been addressing that within your relationship?
I struggle with it. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm different. I feel good every day. It took me about a week of every day looking in the mirror and telling myself, you're going to be okay. When this all got written down in black and white, and I thought, this is really happening, this is going to be over. That was in March. I had started looking into the program in February, mm-hmm. but in March is when our paperwork actually got put together. We were actually supposed to go back and sign the very next weekend. One of the things that I decided I was going to do was I just needed to start hanging out with people, having some fun, enjoying life again. I had pretty much quit enjoying life. So I went out with my sister and her fiance and one of their friends to a concert. My sister's a lot younger than me. My sister's only 30 and I'm 47. But we went to a concert and I had a good time and I was smiling and happy, and some pictures got posted on Facebook of me having a good time, not with anybody, but just in general being happy. And all of a sudden, his tune changed about, like, I think maybe she can be happy without me. And maybe that's not what I want. So we kind of started talking that next weekend after that. And we were going to start working on some things, like we'd start dating again, as he called it, getting to know each other. But he could see that I was making some progress and not getting so worked up about little things. So that just kind of kept going. So we've really been, we've been talking and dating, trying to get to know each other, as he calls it, since March. But then he moved back in July. And we did have a couple times in there in between March and July where he was like, nope, nope, we're done. Call the lawyer. Things would come up. Things would be addressed. So in that process, through the program, I learned how to address some of the issues because I wasn't addressing them correctly. Mm-hmm. So it's been a huge learning process for me because I was doing, it's not the issues that need to be addressed. It was how I was addressing them.
So Nicole, it sounds to me like you feel like this was like a big turning point where like you started not being so obsessed with the marriage itself. And you said, okay, I'm going to be healthy on my own. Why do you think that made such a big difference for your husband?
I think he realized that I wasn't relying on him to make me happy. Mm-hmm. And I will honestly say in the last few years, I expected he was going to make me happy. Like he would do whatever he needed to do to make me happy. And if things weren't going my way, or it wasn't, if I didn't like how we were spending money, or if I didn't like the things we were doing, that was on him. And I think it kind of lifted a burden for him maybe, mm-hmm. that, oh, she's going to be okay without me. And she doesn't, he wants to be needed, but he didn't want me to be totally dependent on him. And I think once he realized I could totally be, I was going to be okay. Maybe he didn't like that so much. Maybe he wanted me to be a little bit more needy of him. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, it makes sense. And I hear this feedback quite a bit because quite honestly, you're not alone in this sort of situation. And I will see some big turnarounds when clients kind of make this realization, like I can be okay and I don't need to rely on this other person to be happy. And I think you hit the nail on the head here with something that you mentioned here. You said it took a lot of pressure off of him. And just in general, you know, my opinion is that a independently happy person is a much more attractive person. And if one feels like that they are responsible for the feelings of someone else, that can sometimes put a lot of pressure. That can be very uncomfortable in a relationship. And so you're saying, hey, we lifted some of this pressure off and made it so that you were an interesting person independent of your husband. Mm-hmm. I love this part of it because, you know, a lot of times when people come into our program, they're like, okay, what do I need to do to convince my spouse that to come back to me? And a lot of this is about, okay, I just need to be healthy myself. And oftentimes that can make a huge difference. So how does your husband feel knowing that you had some professional advice, that you're working on this with other people without him? Did that ever become a problem or a concern of his?
No, we have kept everything separate. Like when we did the dissolution paperwork and we separated the bills and what I would pay, what he would pay, what he was responsible for, what I was responsible for, he knows that I'm getting help. He doesn't know the details of it. He doesn't know. He hasn't ever asked, and I've never divulged that information really. So what I would say to him is I'm getting help for things that I need to get help for. One of the reasons I steered clear of giving him any more details, mm-hmm. is because I didn't want him to think like, they're telling you to say that, which has come up a couple of times, like, oh, that must be what you're hearing you should say. So no, that's like, I'm learning how to deal with things, but it has come up a couple of times where it's not necessarily been thrown in my face, but it's like, it almost made him skeptical of, is it really me changing or is it what I'm being told to say?
So like, is it really Nicole?
And, right.
And it, it's kind of a, once again, that trust. Are the changes real or is Nicole just being fed these lines to trick me to come back?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's like, oh, you're just saying this like because you don't, you know, if I come back, then you're going to go back to the old ways. And I will say, I know that I can't remember when I listened to this, but that you're going to be thrown some obstacles. Like they're going to throw you some challenges or some tests. And I mentioned this to Shane when I talked to her last time that I honestly believe that sometimes he's thrown me out some tests to see how I would handle things, to see if the changes were genuine. Do you see that happen with people?
Yeah, I do. It's more related to a lot of these issues with trust. If they're starting to open up and they're starting to start considering coming back to the relationship, they want to make sure, you know, people like your husband, they want to make sure that those decisions are safe and a little bit more certain. So it's not uncommon to kind of probe and test this sort of thing. I would say it's actually very common, especially if the problems that drove people like this away were very long lasting. You know, it's hard to say, okay, here's all this, like this consistent behavior. And then all of a sudden we see some big changes. And it's really hard to say, okay, this is genuine. This is real. It's difficult. And sometimes it takes some time.
Yeah. And he has said, like, as a matter of fact, today hasn't been a really good day for us. He has actually said today that it's in his mind. He still has some hangups in his mind. And he said, you're doing great. I wish I was. That was a text I got earlier. So, I do think there are some issues that he needs to address. And he knows that I think that there are some issues he needs to address, but he does not want to address those issues. So I don't know how to, I don't want to push because that's what I used to do. I used to push and say, you need to do this or else that was the old me. I don't want to do that this time. So we are still, I mean, we're not like.
Well, no, it's not like everything is perfect right now. And that's what I wanted to get into. I wanted to ask a little bit about how things were right now. And here's the thing, like, this is a process. And it sounds like you've crossed some several big hurdles. Like, you've helped him to feel a little bit more open towards you, and you became more friendly, and he moved back in, and he's considering the marriage now. And these are all big hurdles to cross. And now you're trying to create a lot more of that security, that certainty that, like, hey, things are good. And what, you know, a big hurdle that I see at this point is there like sufficient skills here to address big concerns or needs? Like, is there an ability to come together and discuss these difficult topics and have those things resolved? And it sounds like that's right where you're at, which is, frankly, that's actually not a terrible place to be, like, considering where you were, say, 6-7 months ago.
Yeah, it's 2020 has been such a crazy year with COVID and just how our life's gone anyway. But really, considering where we are right now, I'm tickled to death because I never, 3-4 months ago, I wouldn't have seen us lasting this long. Like, even when he moved back in July, I was not sure that things were going to get better. And it's like things got really good. And then one of our obstacles that we've dealt with our whole marriage is that he is a football coach. Mm-hmm. And recently, the last couple of years, he's become the head football coach instead of just an assistant. Well, this year was the most stressful year of coaching a high school sport. that I've ever seen from all of the coaches. It's just been very stressful because of everything with the COVID and all of that. So we've dealt with the stress of that. Getting through the football season this year, we would not have made it through a football season like this had this season happened last year, if we weren't where we are now. So definitely I can see the positive and the progress, but then we'll hit, and we kind of go through this every few weeks. It seems like we do really good. And then all of a sudden it's like, almost like he puts the brakes on, like he's seeing things go too good and he gets kind of scared. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. And he'll kind of withdraw a little bit and not be as opened. Seem like he's more edgy, but it's kind of a cycle. Like we do really good. And then all of a sudden, like one little thing might just kind of put the brakes on, or we might have one little spat. So it's like, he is back home and we are doing really good. But like you said, I think our next obstacle is admitting like he wants the marriage. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Actually, yeah, this is where I would expect something like this to, a relationship like this to be at this point. So this is completely expected. You're looking, okay, is this okay? This is exactly where I would expect things to be. So it sounds like you're saying, hey, there's still some challenges. There's still some things that you need to fix. And that's great. I mean, that's why you're talking with us, Carly. So You've come a long way. I'm curious, what would you say was like if you could go back and say, hey, I wish I had this sort of this piece here, this progress right here at the beginning. What would you tell people who are just getting started in a process like this?
The biggest piece of there's two aspects that come to mind right away, and the first one is stop pushing for them to come back. Stop pushing for them to work on. Don't bring up, this is what we used to have, look what we're gonna be missing out on, we had this, we could have that. Stop doing that. Just say, I understand that you're, be more understanding to what they are wanting. Because they're not necessarily, and I learned this, they're not necessarily wanting a divorce. They're not wanting a separation. They want that quote to be happy, and they don't know what that happy is. I didn't know what that happy was.
Yeah. I mean, it seems perfectly natural to say, okay, I need to push my husband or wife. They need to work on things. It seems reasonable. You say, okay, well, marriage is a partnership, and it seems reasonable for me to ask my spouse to come back. But, I'm glad you brought this up. I found that time and time again, like it seems to invalidate their concerns when it's come this far.
Yes, it does. And then if you say, well, I'll change. They don't believe it because all these times you've said, we can work on it, we can change. It hasn't worked. So, I mean, it was truly me hitting rock bottom to realize like that's the second point. It's not all about, well, you do this and you do that. I had to start taking responsibility for what I did. And up until I didn't realize like I need to be more understanding because the way he feels about something may not be the way I feel about something, but that doesn't mean that his feeling of that is right or wrong. It's the way he feels. And I needed to learn that feelings are feelings. And we all have feelings. They're different than everybody's.
Exactly.
So those are the two things, like learning to say, hey, I didn't mean for it to come out like that. I'm sorry if that made you feel like that. That wasn't my intent. I'm trying to express myself and I'm maybe not doing a very good job of that. So what can I do to help you understand me better? Taking responsibility for my part of the marriage, which I didn't want to do. I wanted to put all the blame, and we both did. He blamed me. I blamed him, back and forth. It was a vicious cycle.
It's so much easier that way.
Do what?
It's so much easier to just put the blame on.
It is, yeah.
You need to fix it. Why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Well, Nicole, this was really good. kind of insight into how I mean, we can kind of see this big arc here where we can say, hey, there wasn't much hope, and you know, we can see some of the progress and we can see some of the challenges, and then we can see, you know, how there's still room to go. But this was a nice kind of look at how everything runs. And so I really appreciate you being here to kind of provide this example for everyone else. It's always, you know, I always find it interesting, you know, because I don't always have this sort of conversation all the time with my own clients, but it's, I think, really helpful for everyone else. So appreciate your time. Nicole, stick around for just a moment, but we're gonna go ahead and finish up here. So if anyone out there is also looking for help, you know, if anything sounds somewhat similar to what Nicole is describing here, just let us know in the comments. We'd love to have a complimentary, you know, an interview with you to see if any of our services or anything else that we have to offer might be of aid to any of you. So just let us know, and we can make that happen. So once again, thanks, Nicole, and I lost her. And we'll see you all next week with the next podcast. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.